This is Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377. Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
And a good morning. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. If you want to be part of the show today, pretty easy to do. 405-608-4377 is the number you want to dial. 405-608-4377. Going to be a bit of a scorcher today. Partly sunny and hot. High going up to 100 degrees. We're going to see the same for tomorrow and for Friday. So brace yourself. Going to be a hot one. We got a bunch to talk about this morning. More details emerging after an elderly Moore woman was mauled to death by her son's dog. Why the tragedy should have never happened in the first place. A deadly hit and run in Oklahoma City this morning. What police are saying about it. Another death in the Oklahoma County Jail. This time a 33-year-old woman. What we know at this point coming up. Governor Kevin Stitt giving his endorsement for the man he wants to succeed him. The fight over the proposed Toby Keith Expressway is heading to a federal court. We'll be taking your calls on that one. And looking for something to cool you down and beat the heat. The Oklahoma National Guard Museum is open, and best of all, it's free. The museum director will join us here live to talk about this amazing place and the really cool artifacts you can see there. And, of course, your calls and comments at 405-608-4377 and your dad joke of the day. But first, your Freedom First News headlines. An 86-year-old Moore woman who died after a dog attack has been identified as Beatrice Carruth. Police say officers found her with severe injuries and tried life-saving measures before she was taken to a hospital where she later died. Family members say Carruth was caring for a dog for her son while he was in the Cleveland County Jail on charges of allegedly assaulting her. They say the dog had attacked her before they had repeatedly urged her to get rid of it. The family now hopes that prosecutors will consider additional charges against her son. Oklahoma City police are investigating a deadly hit-and-run crash that happened just after midnight this morning on Southwest 61st Street and May Avenue. Officers found a man dead in the roadway after he was struck by a vehicle. Investigators say the driver initially left the scene but later returned and is cooperating with the investigation. Police do not believe speed or impairment were factors in the crash, and no arrests have been announced. The victim's identity has not yet been released. Oklahoma County Detention Center is investigating the death of a 33-year-old inmate this morning. Jail officials say detention officers and medical staff found Dancing Feathers White Crow unresponsive last evening and immediately began life-saving measures before she was taken to the hospital where she later died. White Crow had been in the jail since April after being booked into the Oklahoma County Jail by city police and was being held on $65,000 bond. Jail officials say the circumstances surrounding her death remain under investigation. Oklahoma City Police, meanwhile, have released dramatic traffic camera video showing a man allegedly attacking a person in a wheelchair with a Molotov cocktail right outside of police headquarters. Investigators say 29-year-old Emery Alexander threw the homemade firebomb and then pushed the victim back into the flames as he tried to escape. Two detectives who were nearby quickly intervened, rescuing the victim and arresting Alexander. The victim was treated by firefighters. Alexander now faces multiple felony charges, including assault with intent to kill, first-degree arson, and manufacturing an explosive device. Authorities in southwest Oklahoma are searching for an escaped inmate from the Harmon County Jail. Investigators say 52-year-old Fabian Nunez escaped on Monday night and was last seen wearing a blue T-shirt and black shorts. Court records show Nunez was being held on charges of kidnapping and domestic assault and battery. He's described as 5'9", about 180 pounds. Deputies warn the public not to approach him and instead call local law enforcement or 911 if he's spotted. 75 degrees under sunny skies at 7:10. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. An Oklahoma County judge has ordered State Farm to turn over documents in a lawsuit accusing the insurance company of systematically underpaying wind and hail claims. The case was filed by an Oklahoma homeowner who says that he had to spend more than $20,000 of his own money to repair his roof after his claim was underpaid. Attorneys for the plaintiff argue the records could reveal a broader company strategy to reduce claim payouts. State Farm denies those allegations, and a trial date has not yet been set. Oklahoma lawmaker is once again challenging utility rate hikes approved by the Oklahoma Corporation Commission. Representative Tom Gann has filed his 12th appeal with the Oklahoma Supreme Court, this time over Public Service Company of Oklahoma's proposed $600 million rate increase. Gann argues hundreds of customers were not properly notified in time to participate in the case, raising due process concerns. The appeal is part of a broader legal fight over utility rates, including PCO, OG&E, and Oklahoma Natural Gas. The Oklahoma Supreme Court has not yet ruled on that latest challenge. Well, Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt is throwing his support behind Mike Mazie in the Republican runoff for governor, setting up a high-profile challenge to Attorney General Gettner Drummond, who has long clashed with Stitt on issues ranging from tribal relations to major business projects and lawsuits. Mazie, a former state senator and Stitt's first budget secretary, called the endorsement a sign of growing momentum for his campaign. The Republican nominee will face Democrat Cindy Munson and three independent candidates in the November general election. Oklahoma hospitals could see major changes in Medicaid funding this fiscal year. The Oklahoma Health Care Authority projects payments through one hospital reimbursement program will drop by more than $200 million, but says much of that loss will be offset by increased funding through other supplemental programs. Hospital leaders say the impact will vary from facility to facility, and they're asking for hospital-specific projections so they can plan for staffing, services, and future investments. The changes come as the agency works with a tight state budget and prepares for additional Medicaid changes. Oklahoma's error rate for federal SNAP food benefit program has climbed slightly to just over 11%, putting the state over the threshold that could require it to help pay for benefits beginning in 2028. State officials say the new number reflects an early period that don't necessarily account for recent changes designed to reduce mistakes. They say the preliminary data already show that the error rate is dropping closer to the federal target. Most of Oklahoma's payment errors involve recipients not reporting changes in income or household circumstances and not necessarily fraud. The fight over the proposed Toby Keith Expressway is heading to a federal court. The Oklahoma Turnpike Authority says the new lawsuit filed by the activist group Pike Off OTA is delaying the project and leaving homeowners and businesses along the planned route in limbo. The group argues that the state failed to follow federal environmental laws and wants construction halted. Turnpike officials insist that all required reviews were completed and accuse opponents of repeatedly trying to slow the project through the courts. Nearly $1 billion in road and bridge improvements are headed to Oklahoma over the next 5 years under an updated state transportation plan. The Oklahoma Department of Transportation says the $950 million program will fund work on more than 230 bridges and 800 miles of county roads across all 77 counties. Projects include road improvements in Oklahoma County and bridge repairs in several rural communities. State officials say counties identify their biggest needs each year, and ODOT works with local leaders to prioritize and fund those projects. Yesterday morning's commute was kind of a mess across Oklahoma City Metro after two separate crashes shut down major highways. On I-40 near Tinker Air Force Base, a cattle hauler carrying more than 60 cattle overturned on Tuesday. Several animals were killed or injured, but the driver was not hurt. Crews spent hours removing the cattle and cleaning up a fuel leak before reopening the highway. Later on, a separate five-vehicle crash on westbound I-240 near Eastern Avenue caused miles-long backups before all those lanes reopened. Authorities are investigating several deadly incidents that happened across Oklahoma over the 4th of July weekend. Three people were killed in a head-on crash in Rogers County on Saturday night, and a fourth person was seriously injured. Over in McCurtain County, a 12-year-old girl drowned after she was found at the bottom of a backyard swimming pool near Broken Bow. And in Tulsa, a 12-year-old boy lost his hand and suffered severe eye injuries in a fireworks accident. Police say the incident appears to have been accidental, and they're urging families to use more caution when using fireworks. Oklahoma City Archbishop Paul Coakley has met with Pope Leo XIV for the first time since the Chicago-born pontiff was elected last year. Coakley, who serves as president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, joined church leaders from around the world in Rome for a series of Vatican meetings. The visit comes after Pope Leo and President Donald Trump publicly clashed in recent months over foreign policy, prompting Coakley to defend the Pope, saying that he speaks as a spiritual leader and not as a politician. Triple-digit heat making a return to Oklahoma this week. Forecasters say highs could reach around 101 degrees on Thursday, with the heat index values climbing even higher than that because of that humidity. While the temperatures are expected to be typical for July and not necessarily record-breaking, the heat can be dangerous, especially for children, older adults, and people with chronic health conditions. Relief could arrive later on this weekend as a slow-moving front brings increased cloud cover and a chance of storms. Officials urge everyone to stay hydrated, limit time outdoors, and check on vulnerable neighbors. And with triple-digit temperatures returning in Oklahoma, safety advocates are warning parents about the danger of leaving children in hot cars. The No Heat Stroke organization ranks Oklahoma 49th in the nation for child hot car deaths over the past 27 years. A child's body can heat up to three times faster than an adult, and temperature inside of a parked vehicle can become deadly within minutes. Experts urge drivers to always check the back seat, lock parked vehicles, and call 911 immediately if they see a child in distress inside of a hot car. Well, the Oklahoma National Guard Museum has opened up its doors to a new museum in northeast Oklahoma City. The free museum showcases more than a century's worth of Guard history, with exhibits highlighting Oklahoma soldiers, equipment, artifacts, and military service from the state's earliest days through modern deployments. Museum Director Denise Neal will be joining us live to talk about what you can expect when you go there. It's 75 degrees at 717, and you're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit ServiceProOKC.com. On this Wednesday morning, got a couple of construction issues to be aware of. Bridge work, May and Northwest Expressway, eastbound I-44 at Classen on the Kilpatrick, Wilshire to Northwest 122nd. Buckle up, drive careful.
Knowledge is power. Combine that with 100,000 watts of power, and you've got the most important talk station in Oklahoma. We're the new Freedom 96.9 and freedom969.com.
Hello, this is Michael McGuire with McGuire Capital. I want to personally invite you to tune in to my show each and every Saturday. It's called The Bull and Bear Show. It starts at 10 a.m. and runs to 1 p.m. You'll get to know me each and every week. And more importantly, when the time's right for you, we'll set a one-on-one meeting, and I'm going to get to know you, your family, and your retirement goals. Together, you and I will lock arms, and I'll get you to and through retirement. Tune in starting at 10 a.m. Saturday on Freedom 96.
Oklahoma, safety starts with you.
If you see something, say something with the free and anonymous Protect OK app. Whether it's a threat to one of our schools, a public safety concern, or a disturbing post on social media, your tip can help prevent crime and keep our schools and communities safe.
Download Protect OK today, because protecting Oklahoma is everyone's responsibility. Available free on the Apple App Store and Google Play. Funded by the Oklahoma Office of Homeland Security.
Oklahoma men, remember when you were strong, awake, looked, felt so good with high libido and sex appeal? Are those days over, or are you just low on testosterone? Hi, this is Greg with your Ultimate Men's Clinic. The chemicals in the food and water, medical conditions, and normal aging steal your natural testosterone. That's why you feel weak, tired, foggy, unmotivated, with unexplained weight gain, poor workout results, and left with no desire for your honey. With our custom low T therapy, we designed the perfect blend of state-of-the-art lab work, peptides, and dosing to maximize your results quickly, safely, and affordably. At Ultimate Men's Clinic, we are local, discreet, and we provide unmatched patient service. Now, for a limited time, your initial consultation is free. So, what are you waiting for? Call 405-896-3000. That's 896-3000. Or on the web at menofokc.com. That's menofokc.com. And remember, when it comes to being a man, go ultimate.
Set a button and tell all your friends. Like us on Facebook and tell the world about this station in Oklahoma letting freedom ring with 100,000 watts of power. The new Freedom 96.9 at freedom969.com.
A nonstop wild week of news. It's Eric Erickson. Tune in live 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on Freedom 96.9 as I navigate you through the headlines, navigate you through the breaking news, give you my thoughts on it, an analysis of what's happening, and also take your phone calls at 877-973-7425, live 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on Freedom 96.9 across Oklahoma.
Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377 on the new Freedom 96.9.
Good morning and welcome back. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. Checking the weather. It's going to be a hot couple of days out there. Partly sunny today, very hot, high reaching 100 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, low of 76. On Thursday, partly sunny, high going up to 100. Then on Friday, look for it to be breezy and hot. It's going to be sunny with a high of 99 degrees. 75 degrees under sunny skies at 721. Well, the new $45 million Oklahoma National Guard Museum is now open in northeast Oklahoma City. The museum tells the story of Oklahoma's Army and Air National Guard from territorial days on up through today. And it features thousands of artifacts honoring the service and sacrifice of state citizen soldiers. The newly opened 40,000-square-foot facility on Northeast Grand Boulevard is replacing the historic 45th Infantry Division Museum. If you've never been there, that place was really cool. Admission is free for the new museum. Museum Director Denise Neal is joining us live on Freedom 96.9. Good morning, Denise.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. It's quite an impressive facility, especially considering the small facility that you were in before and the size of it. It's just you don't really appreciate it until yesterday. I went in it for the first time, and it's huge. It's like a mall.
It is like a mall. It's much bigger than our old building. In fact, the old building would fit inside the new building. Our old building was about 20,000 square feet, mm-hmm. and the new building, just the exhibits, are 20,000. So we were able to really expand on the stories that we're telling.
Kind of talk to me a bit about what we'll see inside there, especially some of the newer exhibits that you've got.
So some of the exhibits transferred from the old museum, but new in the museum is an expansion of World War II from where we were, but also we're able to cover domestic response by the National Guard, which we weren't doing before. There's also an expanded amount of information on the global war on terrorism and what the Guard did during those deployments as well. There's a few new vehicles like the MLRS rocket launcher that's inside now, which is really quite impressive. It used to be outside in the park. So it really is an opportunity for us to explore the entire history of the Oklahoma National Guard, which it starts at 1890 and goes to as far up in the present day as we possibly could get.
And when you first pull up to the museum, the first thing that you notice that's pretty almost overwhelming is the old airplanes and helicopters. You've got like an old Huey up there from looks like Vietnam era. You've got a dual prop, just some really, really cool stuff. Kind of walk me through that.
So we did move some of the large macro artifacts over from the old park, and we tried to get a good amount of representation of things that the National Guard had used through the years from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Cold War era. So, yes, there's definitely that Huey that is such an iconic piece of equipment, but also a helicopter from Korea that everyone wouldn't recognize from watching MASH.
Yeah.
At the very front, there is an M-60 tank, an F-86 jet. We were able to bring over all three of the jets, and all three of those jets would have been flown by the Air National Guard.
That's really kind of cool. I'd been to the 45th Museum several times, and there was always one display that always made me stop and really kind of check it out. You had a uniform that was worn by Hitler, and what struck me so interesting about it is how tiny it was. He was a small little guy.
He was a small little guy, and that was at the old museum. It had been out for a number of years, and we did take that and put it into storage so it could get a little rest from being exposed to light and being draped over a form for so long. So it is not on exhibit currently. Doesn't mean that it won't come out in the future. When we were making decisions about what to put out, we had to make decisions on how long things had been out and think about care of the collection for the future. So, but it is a really interesting thing. But things that did stay out, the mirror that was taken from Hitler's bunker is still on display. And so, and then artifacts that were taken out of the apartment in Munich when the 179th Infantry had made the command post in his apartment and took about everything that was there and brought it home.
And it's really, I mean, it sends chills down your spine to know that you're looking at something that Hitler looked at every single day.
Yeah, it is. You know, he's a fascinating character in history, and I think that part of remembering him is to remember what he did to the world and the war that he brought on. And so having those reminders of his narcissism a little bit, you know, and the way that he perceived himself as a leader and someone that wanted to take over and control Europe in a way that was very dangerous. So we're glad that we can share that story.
And I know that there's been, not necessarily locally, but nationally, a push to not display items from Nazi Germany. And I agree with you. I think that we need to see these things. We need to remember.
We do. You know, we have a good amount of just Nazi paraphernalia. We have a lot of Nazi banners and things in the collection that people have brought us through the years. And we don't want to shy away from that part of history. And part of that is to show, you know, what happened in the past. And so we don't like to be revisionist. We want to make sure that we're showing history as it actually happened.
Another thing, you've got guns aplenty in there.
We do have guns aplenty. We've tried to pick a representation of weapons that would have been used over time by the National Guard, by the 45th Infantry Division. There's also a case of foreign weapons as well. So it's really important for people to see those artifacts of war. They're generally... there's a lot of people that have a lot of interest in the weapons. And so we tried to balance having cases with artifacts that stood on their own as representation of what the military used, as well as tell personal stories about individual soldiers in the new museum.
How do you make those choices? What goes out and what stays behind closed doors for now? Because you've got, as huge as that building is, you've got a lot of stuff.
We do have a lot of stuff. In fact, we're in the process of moving the balance of the collection from the old building to the new right now. And we were on a pretty tight time frame to get the museum built. And so we sat down and we made a kind of a storyboard of what we wanted to tell and what we wanted to show and what artifacts could help us tell our story in the best way. So we just simply went through and said, okay, we think this is a representational weapon. We think this is a good uniform to have. And we have so many things in the collection to choose from. And so it wasn't an easy decision at all. We had to go through and think really hard about what would satisfy everybody, what could be used to tell the story. And our World War II and Korea collections are really huge because soldiers used to bring home everything that they could or wanted to. Global war and terrorism was harder because they couldn't bring home as much.
Sure.
And so, but we feel like we balanced that story well.
Good deal. One of the neat things about it is that it's free. Is it going to be permanently free, or is that just kind of a welcome, come see it, and now we're going to charge you later?
No, the museum will remain free for any foreseeable future. We've been free forever since we opened 50 years ago at the old location. Most of the state guard museums across the country and the national military museums are all free, and we think that's really important.
How can I learn more? Is there a website?
There is a website. It's in process of being updated currently. Okay. from some stuff that's old. But
so the best plan is just come down and see.
Really, the best plan is just come see us. We're open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, and Sunday, 1 to 5.
Okay. Well, Denise, Neil, thank you very much for joining us. The Oklahoma National Guard Museum, now open. The admission is free, and it's a pretty amazing place. Plan on spending an entire day there or several days there. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And you're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brolbeck on Freedom 96.9.
USA Radio News. I'm John Summers. A Manhattan high-rise is buckling and triggered evacuations Tuesday. NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte says the recent round of U.S. strikes on Iran were absolutely necessary. The prosecution in the Charlie Kirk trial in Utah is allowed to enter a statement from a Turning Point USA member into evidence. Maine Democrat Senate candidate Graham Plattner lost his staunchest supporter as calls grow for him to end his campaign after a sexual assault allegation. A private prison company sold two of California's largest ICE detention centers to the federal government. Here's Daniel Martindale.
Monday, CoreCivic announced it sold the facilities to the U.S. Department of Homeland Security for $1.5 billion.
A data center boom in Texas is leading to concerns about the power needed for all those computers. From America's News Network, USA Radio News.
This is Noble McIntyre with the McIntyre Minute.
Your insurance company is not on your side. I know that sounds harsh. You've paid premiums for years, maybe even decades. You might not have ever even missed a payment. And then something happens, a serious accident, a house fire, a devastating loss, and you file a claim expecting the insurance company you trusted to show up for you. Instead, they delay. They question everything. They send you letters asking for more documentation, then more after that. Here's something the insurance industry doesn't advertise. Insurance companies make more money when they pay out less. Every denied claim and every delayed payment improves their bottom line. In Oklahoma, that kind of deliberate, unfair dealing isn't just wrong, it's illegal. Your insurer owes you a duty of good faith, and when they violate it, you have legal recourse beyond just the original claim. They can be held accountable for what they put you through. Call McIntyre Law at 777-7000 or visit us at McIntyreLaw.com.
Catch our show, Legal Talk, with Noble McIntyre and Jeremy Thurman, Saturdays at 1 p.m. on Freedom 96.9.
And that's your McIntyre Minute.
Freedom local coverage starts now.
From the Freedom 96.9 News Center, I'm Bo B. Kraft. News is brought to you by Health 65. You've worked hard, and Medicare doesn't have to be. Health 65 is making Medicare easy again. Health65.com. Oklahoma transportation officials have approved a five-year plan investing nearly $950 million in county roads and bridges statewide. The project list includes work on 238 bridges and more than 800 miles of roads across all 77 counties. Funding is said to come from state, federal, local, and tribal sources for the projects. Officials say the goal is to improve safety and address aging infrastructure throughout the state. Construction timelines will vary by each project. The Oklahoma Department of Wildlife Conservation is seeking volunteers for its Oklahoma Youth Hunting Program, which pairs experienced hunters with first-time hunters ages 10 through 17. A volunteer training workshop will be held July 18th in Mustang. The youth deer hunt will take place during October's youth deer gun season. Officials say the program promotes safe and responsible hunting practices. The Regional Food Bank of Oklahoma says demand for food assistance is increasing this summer, with officials saying families often need extra help when children are out of school. The organization has expanded meal delivery and grab-and-go programs to meet those needs. The food bank is encouraging residents to donate or volunteer to help keep shelves stocked. That's the latest from the Freedom 96.9 News Center on Oklahoma's Talk Radio. Your Oklahoma City Freedom Forecast is next.
When it comes to your health coverage, one thing matters most, your choice. Health 65 believes you should have the liberty to choose a Medicare plan that fits your doctors, your budget, and your lifestyle. Our team will walk you through your options and help you make a decision that's right for you, because it's your health and your call. Hi, this is Philip Beard with Health 65 in Edmond. Call me or start planning today at Health 65. That's health65.com.
Health 65 is not connected to the federal Medicare program.
July at Cimarron Casino. Get fired up when you sit down for fun and excitement during Hot Seat Heat Wave. Thursdays in July, 6 to 9 p.m., you could be selected to win one of eight hot seat drawings where you can win up to $250 free play on July 2nd and cash prizes that double each week up to $4,000 based on your card tier. Summer's getting hot, but you can play it cool with Hot Seat Heatwave, only at Cimarron Casino, where every day is payday.
It's a good day. I'm here with Stephen Smith, owner of ICS Concrete Coatings in Oklahoma City. Stephen, how does ICS help businesses with their flooring needs?
We provide industrial-grade polyurea coatings for warehouses, retail shops, and offices. They're chemical-resistant, withstand heavy traffic, and keep your space looking professional. We've done everything from auto shops to restaurants with stunning results.
That sounds ideal for high traffic areas. What about minimizing business downtime? That's pretty important.
Yeah, our coatings cure in hours, so we're done in a day. Your business stays operational with minimal interruption, and the floor lasts for years.
It sounds like a smart investment. Any advice for business owners listening right now?
Give us a call, get a free estimate, and we'll tailor a solution that fits your needs and budget.
Upgrade your business with ICS Concrete Coatings. Call 405-403-4012 or visit ICSConcreteCoatings.com, 405-403-4012, or go to ICSConcreteCoatings.com to schedule your free estimate today.
Freedom.
Weather. Here's your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast. Today will bring partly sunny skies and toasty conditions with a high of 100. Tonight, expect partly cloudy skies and warm temperatures dropping to a low of 76. Tomorrow will be partly sunny, breezy, and hot with a high of 100. On Friday, anticipate breezy and hot weather with intervals of bright sunshine, but there's a chance of a thunderstorm prowling in the afternoon. The high temperature will be 99 degrees. With your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Jason Caterina.
Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377.
Good morning and welcome back. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. 77 degrees already. It's sunshiny and it's 7:36 in the morning. That means it's time for your Freedom 96 Dad Joke of the Day. You know, Uncle Dave, yesterday my wife was on eBay all day long.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Maybe I should lower the price.
Oh. She was on eBay.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
Trying to make a buck here.
Trying
to make a buck. I'm going to be sleeping on your couch tonight, by
there
the way,
if
that's cool. Excellent. Let's check out your Freedom First News headlines now on Freedom 96.9. An 86-year-old Moore woman who died after a dog attack has been identified as Beatrice Carruth. Police say that officers found her with severe injuries and tried life-saving measures before she later died at the hospital. Family members say Carruth was caring for the dog while her son was in Cleveland County Jail on charges of allegedly assaulting her. They say the dog had attacked her before, but they reportedly urged her to get rid of it, and she refused to. The family now hopes that prosecutors will consider additional charges against her son. Oklahoma City police are investigating a deadly crash that happened just after midnight this morning on Southwest 61st Street and May Avenue. Officers found the man dead in the roadway after he was struck by a vehicle. Investigators say the driver initially left the scene but later returned and is cooperating. Police do not believe that speed or impairment were factors, and no arrests have been announced. The victim's identity has not yet been released. The Oklahoma County Detention Center is investigating the death of a 33-year-old inmate. Jail officials say detention officers and medical staff found Dancing Feathers White Crow unresponsive on Tuesday evening and immediately began life-saving measures before she was taken to the hospital where she later died. White Crow had been in the jail since April and was being held on $65,000 bond. The circumstances surrounding her death remain under investigation. Oklahoma City police have released dramatic traffic camera video showing a man allegedly attacking a person in a wheelchair with a Molotov cocktail right outside of police headquarters. Investigators say 29-year-old Emery Alexander threw the homemade firebomb and then pushed the victim back into the flames as he tried to escape. Two detectives quickly rescued the victim and arrested Alexander. He's now facing multiple felony charges, including assault with intent to kill. Authorities in southwest Oklahoma are searching for an escaped inmate from the Harmon County Jail. Investigators say 52-year-old Fabian Nunez escaped on Monday night and was last seen wearing a blue T-shirt and black shorts. He's being held on charges of kidnapping and domestic assault and battery. Deputies say do not approach him if you see him, but instead call law enforcement or 911. 77 degrees under sunny skies at 7:39. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. Well, Oklahoma County judge has ordered State Farm to turn over internal documents in a lawsuit accusing the insurance company of systematically underpaying wind and hail claims. The case was filed by an Oklahoma homeowner who says he was forced to spend more than $20,000 of his own money to repair his roof after receiving an inadequate insurance payout. Attorneys for the plaintiff argue the records could reveal a broader company strategy to reduce claim payments. State Farm denies the allegations, and a trial date has not yet been scheduled. An Oklahoma lawmaker is again challenging utility rate hikes approved by the Oklahoma Corporation Commission. Representative Tom Gann has filed his 12th appeal with the Oklahoma Supreme Court, this time over PSOs and proposed $600 million rate increase. Gann argues that hundreds of customers were not properly notified in time to participate in the case. The court has not yet ruled. Governor Kevin Stitt has officially endorsed Mike Mazzei as the Republican runoff for governor, backing his former budget secretary over Attorney General Gettner Drummond. The endorsement comes after years of public disagreements between Stitt and Drummond on many issues ranging from tribal relations to major business projects and state lawsuits. Mazie says the governor's support gives his campaign much-needed momentum heading into the runoff. The Republican nominee will face Democrat Cindy Munson and three independent candidates in the November general election. Oklahoma hospitals could see major changes in Medicaid funding in the fiscal year. The Oklahoma Health Care Authority says one reimbursement program will shrink by more than $200 million, but much of that loss is expected to be offset through another supplemental payment program. Hospital leaders say they want facility-specific projections so they can prepare for the impact. Oklahoma's error rate for the federal SNAP food assistance program has increased slightly to just over 11%, keeping the state above the federal benchmark that could require Oklahoma to begin paying a share of the benefit costs starting in 2028. State officials say the latest figures reflect an earlier period and don't necessarily account for recent reforms aimed at reducing mistakes. They say preliminary data is already showing improvement and stress that most payment errors are caused by paperwork problems or recipients failing to report changes in income and not necessarily intentional fraud. Well, the battle over the proposed Toby Keith Expressway is now headed to a federal court. The Oklahoma Turnpike Authority says a lawsuit filed by the activist group Pike Off OTA is delaying the project and creating uncertainty for homeowners and businesses along the proposed route. Opponents argue that the state moved forward without complying with federal environmental laws and are asking a judge to halt construction. Turnpike officials insist that all required environmental reviews were completed and accuse opponents of using the courts to repeatedly delay the multi-billion dollar Access Oklahoma project. Nearly $1 billion in road and bridge improvements are coming to Oklahoma over the next 5 years. The Oklahoma Department of Transportation has approved an updated county improvements for roads and bridges plan that includes nearly $950 million in projects. The funding will pay for repairs and upgrades to more than 230 bridges and about 800 miles of county roads in all 77 counties. State officials say local government helped identify the biggest transportation needs, and the plan is updated every year to prioritize those projects. Well, yesterday morning's commute was a frustrating one across Oklahoma City Metro after two major crashes snarled traffic for hours. On I-40 near Tinker Air Force Base, a cattle hauler carrying more than 60 cattle overturned, killing or injuring several animals. The driver was not hurt, but crews did spend hours cleaning up a fuel leak and then moving the surviving cattle before reopening the highway. Meanwhile, a separate five-vehicle crash on westbound I-240 near Eastern Avenue caused miles-long backups before all lanes were finally reopened later on that morning. Authorities are continuing to investigate several tragic incidents from the 4th of July holiday weekend across Oklahoma. Three people were killed in a head-on crash in Rogers County on Saturday night. In McCurtain County, a 12-year-old girl drowned after she was found at the bottom of a backyard swimming pool. And over in Tulsa, a 12-year-old boy lost his hand and suffered severe eye injuries in a fireworks accident. Police say the explosion appears to have been accidental and are urging families to use extreme caution when handling fireworks. Oklahoma City Archbishop Paul Coakley has met with Pope Leo XIV for the first time since the Chicago-born pontiff was elected to lead the Catholic Church. Coakley, who serves as president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, joined Catholic leaders from around the world at the Vatican for a series of meetings focused on the future of the Church. The visit comes just weeks after Pope Leo and President Donald Trump publicly disagreed over foreign policy, with Coakley defending the Pope's role as a spiritual leader rather than a political figure. Triple-digit heat is making a comeback across Oklahoma this week. Forecasters say highs could reach 101 degrees on Thursday, with humidity pushing the heat index values several degrees higher. While the temperatures are not expected to break any records, they can still be very dangerous, especially for older adults, young children, and people with chronic health conditions. Emergency officials are urging Oklahomans to drink plenty of water, avoid strenuous outdoor activity during the hottest parts of the day, and to check on neighbors who may not have air conditioning. A cold front is arriving later on this weekend and could finally bring some relief, along with increased cloud cover and a chance of storms. As that summer heat intensifies, safety advocates are reminding parents that a parked vehicle can become deadly in just minutes. The No Heat Stroke organization ranks Oklahoma 49th in the nation for child hot car deaths over the past 27 years. A child's body heats up much faster than an adult's does, and temperatures inside a car can quickly soar above 120 degrees when it's not extremely hot outside. Experts recommend always checking the back seat before locking your vehicle, keeping cars locked so children can't climb inside, and calling 911 immediately if you see a child alone in a hot car. Well, the fight over the proposed Toby Keith Expressway is moving to federal court. Opponents want construction halted, claiming that the state failed to follow federal environmental laws. The Oklahoma Turnpike is denying those claims and says the lawsuit is simply another delay tactic. So what are your thoughts on this? Does Oklahoma really need the expressway? What are your concerns about the project? I mean, there's no question that Oklahoma City Metro is growing quickly, but is the expressway and projects like it really necessary to handle the increased traffic or traffic that we could see in the future? And is it worth the cost? We want to hear from you at 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brobeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit serviceprookc.com. On this Wednesday morning, got a couple of construction issues to be aware of. Bridge work, May and Northwest Expressway, eastbound I-44 at Classen on the Kilpatrick, Wilshire to Northwest 122nd. Buckle up, drive careful.
It's a double celebration of freedom. The American spirit meets the open road in 2026. We honor 250 years of our nation and 100 years of Route 66. Your voice for freedom is right here. Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9.
Hi, this is Jamie with Discount Garage Door, and we've got some amazing specials going on our stock doors. Right now, get an 8x7 garage door installed for just $10.99, a 16x7 for $16.99, or get the door and motor combo for just $23.99. These prices are out the door, installed, and every job comes with a 5-year warranty on all parts and labor. Give us a call at 525-DOOR or visit us at discountgaragedoor.com.
Point!
Hey, you okay? You don't normally miss those shots.
Oh, I just haven't been as regular lately, and it's making me feel sluggish.
You should try Metamucil. It's been a game changer for me. Metamucil's plant-based psyllium fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down.
Ace!
You're moving better than you were last week.
Definitely.
Metamucil keeps you moving. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Learn more at Metamucil.com.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You need someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now you can meet them fast on ZipRecruiter.
Build your team. Build it sooner. Need your match on ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Need your match on ZipRecruiter.
Hello, this is Michael McGuire with McGuire Capital. I want to personally invite you to tune in to my show each and every Saturday. It's called The Bull and Bear Show. It starts at 10 a.m. and runs to 1 p.m. You'll get to know me each and every week. And more importantly, when the time's right for you, we'll set a one-on-one meeting and I'm going to get to know you, your family, and your retirement goals. Together, you and I will lock arms and I'll get you to and through retirement. Tune in starting at 10 a.m. Saturday on Freedom 96.
We're talking about news and opinions from D.C. to OKC. We're Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9, freedom969.com, and on the Freedom app.
Hey, Oklahoma, this is Dana Lash, host of The Dana Show. I'll be bringing you the latest news you won't hear anywhere else
every weekday starting at 2 p.m.
If you're trying to control the minds of the youth, you're going to try to control that organization. And if you meet resistance, you're going to take that resistance out. If we're going to sit here and talk about Mossad and Israel, by God, I'm going to drag all you people into it because there is greater amount of suspicion on you than anything else.
You can hear me weekdays at 2 p.m. on the new Freedom 96.9 and freedom969.com.
Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377.
Good morning and welcome back. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brobeck on Freedom 96.9. It's Wednesday, July 8th in the year of our Lord, 2026. Going to be a hot few days and then hopefully cooling off a little bit just in time for the weekend. Today, look for partly sunny skies. Going to be a hot one with a high temperature of 100 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, low of 76. On Thursday, partly sunny. Even that cloud cover won't really keep away the heat, though. High of 100 degrees for Thursday. Then on Friday, breezy, hot, sunny, high of 99 degrees. It's 78 degrees and sunny at 750. Well, the battle over the proposed Toby Keith Expressway is now headed to federal court. The Oklahoma Turnpike Authority says the lawsuit filed by the activist group Pike Off OTA is delaying the project and creating uncertainty for homeowners and businesses along the proposed route. Opponents argue the state moved forward without complying with federal environmental laws. They're asking a judge to halt construction. Turnpike officials insist all required environmental reviews were completed and accuse opponents of using the courts to repeatedly delay the multi-million dollar Access Oklahoma project. So what are your thoughts on the expressway? Good, bad? We want to hear from you on this one. 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. The expressway and the broader Access Oklahoma expansion have really become one of the state's more contentious transportation issues. A lot of it just boils down to property rights versus public infrastructure. People who are backing it say new highways are needed to handle Oklahoma City's rapid growth. And we see that every single day when we try to drive to work and see just how insanely packed the roads are starting to get. This isn't the same Oklahoma City that it was even 10 years ago. We've got a lot more people moving here. The secret's out. It's a good place to live. Good quality of life. You can earn a very good living and have a pretty nice house and not have to kill yourself trying to do it. So we are seeing rapid growth here, and there's no telling how quickly and how much more consistent that growth is going to last. It wouldn't surprise me if at some point we surpass Dallas in terms of population. And if you've driven through Dallas, you know what a nightmare it can be there because they didn't adequately plan for just how many people would eventually move to Dallas. And I would hate to see that happen here. And that's why something like the expressway could certainly help things out. The project will definitely help to improve traffic flow, safety, presumably economic development. As we continue to grow as a state, we're going to need to have roadways that can handle not just people moving to and from work, but also daily commutes for people regarding economic development. And as we see more and more of these data centers popping up all over the place, we're going to need more economic development. We're going to be needing more roads to accommodate that. The new routes will support future residential and commercial expansion. I live in Yukon. We've been there for about 6 years now. And even in the short time that we've been in Edmond, I've seen massive growth there. They're just, every time you turn around, they're building another housing development to try to accommodate all of the people who are moving here. And again, if you've driven to work in the morning or if you're driving to work right now, you know what a nightmare it can be. It's becoming to the point where it's just it's bumper to bumper traffic, and we need to see a change. But opponents say the state is taking away private property through eminent domain for a road that many believe really isn't necessary. Again, I'd probably argue it may not be necessary now. It probably will be in the future. Some homeowners could lose their land or see property values decline. I totally understand that. And as a homeowner myself, I get that. I sympathize with that. But progress must progress. And we do need to have better access to and from place to place. Many argue the state should improve existing highways instead of building new ones. Can't disagree with that necessarily. I mean, if you've driven on I-40 recently, it's like driving on the surface of the moon. So these improvements need to be made. Again, we talked about today, there's a billion-dollar plan to improve our roads. So hopefully that's going to take off. But we not only need to make them smoother, we also need to make them wider and make them more accessible. What this lawsuit basically does, it's an environmental review lawsuit. So the central issue here is the folks with Pike Off OTA are arguing that the Oklahoma Turnpike Authority began work before completing all of the federally required environmental reviews under laws such as the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA. The lawsuit is asking a federal judge to essentially stop construction until all of those requirements are met. OTA's response, though, they say that the agency is already they've already hit every required environmental review. It's been completed. Officials are arguing that opponents are just simply using these lawsuits to delay a legally approved project, just another delay tactic. And I think we're seeing that more and more, too, from the national level down to the local level, where the courts are being used more and more for delay tactics rather than for actual justice. Obviously, there's a cost to taxpayers associated here. Supporters argue the turnpikes are financed primarily through toll revenue, not through generated tax dollars, and that modern infrastructure attracts businesses and jobs, because obviously if you're transporting stuff, you need to have good quality roads to transport them, and you need to be able to transport your goods and services quickly. Critics argue, though, the estimated multi-billion dollar price tag creates long-term debt, which it does. Debt is part of business. Future toll increases could become necessary. Would not surprise me, and I doubt it would surprise you if we saw increases in tolls as a result of this. And they question whether the project's projected traffic volumes really justify the expense. Again, in the short term, probably not. But we also don't want to become Dallas in terms of road congestion. And I'm afraid that's what we're going to see as quickly as the Oklahoma City Metro is growing. There's also concerns about transparency and public input here. This has been one of the bigger political issues. And again, if you want to be part of the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. Transparency and public input, really a big issue here. Critics are arguing that residents really weren't adequately notified of routes before those routes were selected, and that they weren't really given an opportunity to have their input heard. Some communities learned about the project only after the planning was well underway, a little bit too late. Decisions appear to be made before any real meaningful public feedback is what they're arguing. The OTA says they held meetings, they followed all legal notification requirements, and that the routes have been modified several times in direct response to these public comments. So they're saying they've already done whatever is necessary, even if it's just the minimum of what is necessary, it's already been done. And that's one of the challenges the court will be taking up. Now, the Oklahoma Supreme Court versus the federal court, question is, why are they bringing this out of the federal level? That's another controversial procedure. Pike Off OTA has lost multiple challenges already in Oklahoma state courts. They're now pursuing this as a federal lawsuit as opposed to a state lawsuit. They believe they can get more relief that way. Supporters of the project say the opponents are just simply forum shopping. They're looking for a court that's going to agree with them rather than a court that's going to mete out justice. So opponents are responding that federal environmental law makes it necessary for this to be in federal court. And that's a valid argument. Federal laws are much different than state laws. Federal is probably the place where this belongs. There are discussions here about growth versus quality of life. Supporters believe that Oklahoma City will continue growing rapidly and additional transportation corridors are really necessary before congestion becomes too severe. One thing you can guarantee, though, this is far from over, and we're going to be seeing a lot more of this. Quick check on the weather before we go. Today, partly sunny and hot. Tomorrow, partly sunny, high of 100. Then on Friday, high going up to 99 degrees. Please stay hydrated. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.